Remember this, my brothers and sisters. When Jesus comes back, we are going to look back over the way we lived on this earth. And you're either going to have a satisfaction over the way you lived or regret. And that depends on the type of decisions you make today. Think of the tremendous satisfaction people like Peter and Paul have over their life. It's not because they were perfect. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. You haven't done that. But Peter repented so thoroughly that he made such good use of his life thereafter. Paul messed up 30 years of his life going the wrong direction, persecuting Christians and all that. Yet, okay, he messed up the first 30 years of his life. But the remaining 37 of years of his life, he made such good use of it that at the end of when he was 67 years old and he was about to die, he said, I've finished my course. I have great satisfaction as I look back over my life. And you say, how can a man have great satisfaction when he looks back over 67 years of his life and sees that the first 30 years of his life was an absolute mess? He did the wrong things. You know, God is so gracious. He allows for times of ignorance. That's a great verse. I wanted to show you that to comfort those who feel discouraged over failures in their past life. All of us have failed many years in our life. I have, and you have. Here is a great verse that has encouraged me, and it'll encourage you. Remember it all your life. Acts 17 and verse 30. This is especially for those who have messed up major years of their life. God overlooks the times of ignorance, but now He commands us to repent. So your life is divided into 2 parts. One part is times of ignorance, when you did not know how important it was to live for Jesus Christ 100%. And for some of you, that day may be coming only today. Maybe it is only today that you've really been gripped by the truth that we have to live 100% for Christ. Okay, then your past is the times of ignorance and God says, I overlook it. But from today, will you live for me? That's the question that came to Paul on the road to Damascus when the light hit him from heaven. So what are you going to do from today onwards? Forget the past. And I believe the Lord is saying that to some of you sitting here, perhaps to many of you. Don't get discouraged over past failure up until today. Are you willing? I'll overlook it. Your times of ignorance, you never knew. Not that you were ignorant that Christ died for you. You were not ignorant of that. But I think it's really true that many of you were ignorant how serious it is to take life seriously and live 100% for Christ. And how we must give everything to Him. You were ignorant. Okay, God says, I'll overlook the times of ignorance. But now He tells you to repent means turn around. Take your life seriously from today. And I believe that when Christ comes again, you'll have great joy. Make sure you forgive everybody first. It's one of the first things to do. Ask God to forgive your past and ask Him to forgive your past in exactly the same way you are forgiving every person who ever hurt you in your whole life. Because I want to tell you something. Nobody has hurt you as much as you hurt God by your sinful life. There are whole things in your life, evil things that you did, nobody knows about. God knows, but He overlooks it. He says, I've forgiven. I'll cleanse you in your blood of Jesus, and I won't even remember it. Now you forgive others just like I've forgiven you. Will you say yes to the Lord today? Lord, right now where I'm sitting here, I'm going to forgive everyone who's ever harmed me. I'm going to take my life seriously from now on, and I want to live 100% for you, and I want to be one of that small remnant who are walking the narrow way that you can point out to the devil like Job and say, have you seen that man? Have you seen that family? Have you seen that church? God can use you. Peter was not a great scholar. He was just a fisherman. And in 3 years, he was ready to be an apostle. How long does it take to be an apostle? Peter was a man who was a Jew who didn't know anything about the new covenant. And in 3.5 years with Jesus, he was an apostle. It doesn't take long when God does a work in you. He filled him with the Holy Spirit and he was a completely different person. He can do that for you, my brothers. Don't let the devil fool you. Don't think that making money and becoming big in this world is everything. You'll have tremendous regrets in eternity if you put God in just in a small corner of your life and do the minimum for Him. Lord, You are going to be number one in my life from now on. Everything else is going to be in a corner. You think you'll suffer? You think your children suffer? Not at all. I can tell you from 50, my wife and I have been married 48 years. We've raised 4 children. We have no regrets. We've been through times of deep poverty in the early years because we decided to honor God and we're very faithful in the financial area. We went through struggles. So what? We became better people as a result of it. I've seen that people who go through financial struggle come out as better people, character-wise, than people who have plenty of loads of money from day one. I wish that our children would go through struggle financially, not that they have loads of money from day one. It's not really good for them. I think a lot of rich people spoil their children by giving them everything they want. I couldn't give everything my children asked for because I didn't have it. And it did them good that they couldn't get all that they wanted. I feel sorry for those people those children who get everything they want because their parents are so wealthy. Oh, you want this, you want that, you want it, I'll give it to you right away. See how they develop spiritually. See where they are today. Yeah, nominally Christian, but are they on fire for God? Are they accomplishing something for God's kingdom? If not, do you want to raise up children who are just nominally Christian? Dear brothers and sisters, let's take our Christian life seriously and say, Lord, I want me and my whole family to be a witness for Christ. Okay, one last verse before we close for the session. Please turn with me to the Psalms. Something about children. All married people love to have children. And it says in Psalm 127, children are a gift of the Lord. Praise God. Every one of your children is a gift from the Lord. Look at them not as something you produced, though God used you to produce that child physically. It's a gift from the Lord. And do what Abraham did with Isaac. Lord, I give this gift back for you, to you, to use for your kingdom. And your child, it says in verse 4, must be like an arrow in the hand of a warrior. What is an arrow? An arrow is a weapon that you use to fight the enemy. It's equivalent to today's gun. In the olden days, it was an arrow. And you pull the bow, the string of the bow, to fire your arrow at the enemy. Okay. You got your child at home for maybe 18 years till they go to college. All those 18 years, you must be pulling the string of your bow so that one day when you, 18 or 25, or however many years they stay at home, one day when you release your child from your home, he's going to go straight at the devil and finish him. That's the purpose of an arrow. Are you training your child to be an arrow? Or just to live a comfortable life on earth? Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. That means right from childhood you got to train them. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of such arrows. That means if you have one child or two child or 4 children or whatever number of children, every one of them is an arrow. One day they will not be ashamed when they see what their children have done to their enemies. It's not just you. We are to be a witness against God's enemy in the world is the devil. And he wants to get your children. He wants to ruin your church. Determine that you at least are going to count for God and do your part, that there'll be a pure offering for Christ in your locality.